Good Wednesday. Today is May the 14th, and you're listening to My Farm. We're going to start off today talking about some USDA disaster funding, some things we learned last week about that, and then finish off our time talking about new research approaches when it comes to the various forms of animal influenza. We'll have all the details after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Taking a look at your agricultural headlines, the USDA will open a portal before the end of the month for farmers to apply for nearly $21 billion in aid for dealing with natural disasters over the past 2 years, Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins told senators. Rollins testified before a U.S. Senate Appropriations Subcommittee on Agriculture to discuss plans for the fiscal year 2026 budget, which includes roughly $4.6 billion in cuts. Senators asked about a range of funding cuts, facilities in their own states, and the USDA's cancellation and freezing of programs in the first 3 months of the Trump administration. Now, also discussed was when USDA plans to open applications for roughly $20.5 billion in natural disaster aid passed by Congress back in December. Rollins repeatedly told lawmakers the USDA will announce applications for disaster aid in the coming weeks by the end of May. Now, passed quickly after Hurricane Helene hit last fall, the disaster aid package covers an array of natural disasters that hit agriculture in 2023 and 2024. Among the fund, $2 billion was set aside specifically for livestock producers. Assistance from the package could go to states in the form of block grants as well as direct compensation to farmers. Now, Rollins also told the subcommittee USDA has moved almost $8 billion under the Emergency Commodities Assistance Program, or ECAP, since opening the program in late March. A USDA dashboard for the program shows $7.3 billion has been paid to more than 472,000 farmers so far. And from what I've seen, you are following very well what we've laid out in that emergency assistance, said Senator John Hovind from North Dakota. He's the chairman of the subcommittee. Rollins noted creating a program for natural disaster is a little more complicated than ECAP, which had prescribed details in the legislation on how payments would be distributed. It's a little more complicated because we do not have the specifics, she said. Now, Hovind noted Congress expects the disaster payments to operate similar to the wildfires and hurricane indemnity program created back in 2017. The Biden administration later drafted a different disaster program, that being the Emergency Relief Program, which sparked complaints because the payment formula leaned heavily towards smaller producers. Now, Senator John Ossoff from Georgia told Rollins about farmers in his state who need those disaster payments to keep operating. He specifically cited examples from a pecan farmer and a cotton farmer. Rollins replied, within a matter of weeks, the portal will open on those grant applications. Now, when it comes to frozen funds and some of the staffing cuts, senators from both parties highlighted their concerns about the budget cuts at the USDA. We want to work with you to find savings, but we have to know we're still going to deliver that service that keeps those families in business, those farms and ranches going every single day to benefit every single American, Hovind told Rollins. Senator Susan Collins from Maine, who chairs the Senate Appropriations Committee, said she wants more details on funding that remains frozen. Farmers, landowners, loggers, and natural resource businesses, quote, still have no clarity on what decisions will be made, she said. Rollins said the USDA began sorting through $20 billion in program funding and is now down to the final $5 billion frozen program dollars. Hovind said it is important to ensure frontline FSA offices or employees remain in place to work with farmers and ranchers. On FSA county offices, Rollins said, it is not our plan to close any of those offices. She added, however, USDA wants to improve technology to be more efficient online with technical assistance down the line, but today we can't rip that rug out from underneath our farmers and ranchers. That remains a priority. Rollins also said she signed a memorandum recently that prevented certain frontline positions at the FSA, the Animal Plant and Health Inspection Service, and Forest Service firefighters from taking federal buyouts. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at CropCoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions now, go from talking about disaster funding to talking about animal influenza, a diverse method of current and developing research to assist in better understanding and control various animal influenzas is taking place. USDA's Rod Bain has more.
Animal influenzas. Research, in several cases, rapid research, continues in ways to address this threat, both in poultry and in livestock. This year's USDA Agricultural Outlook Forum revealed some of this study, both current and prospective. This is Dina Jones, U.S. National Poultry Research Center Director, speaking about the initial case of a strain of the H5N1 virus in dairy cattle.
USDA ARS has two high containment laboratories, which were in the forefront of the research response. Within 24 hours of the confirmation of the virus in lactating dairy cows, scientists were conducting benchtop pasteurization studies with raw cow milk. This also involved many hours in high containment developing methods to detect the virus in fluid milk, frozen dairy products, and in fermented and cultured dairy products.
Also developed real-time PRC test for the bovine lineage virus,
allowing for faster confirmation by the National Veterinary Services Laboratory. Furthermore, scientists have optimized serological testing methods to evaluate natural infection and vaccine response in cattle. This is being used to support the vaccine response research in cattle that is currently underway.
Tavis Anderson of the National Animal Disease Center talks about research into influenza A virus found in pigs. This particular virus moves between animals.
Generally, what we're doing is we're trying to develop methods, and these include machine learning and AI methods, phylogenetic methods that look at the genetic sequence data. We're applying these to look at the diversity of viruses in whatever host they're in, primarily in pigs, and we're using that information to understand when and where viruses are transmitting. And then, ideally, what we can do is use these methods also to develop better vaccines that provide effective protection.
Part of this research involves genetics.
These days, we're pushing the tools a little bit further. We're trying to work out what combinations of genes actually matter and which ones are driving the evolution of the virus. And we're automatically filtering data coming through our colleagues' labs at the National Veterinary Services Labs to see whether or not the virus is evolving in ways that will make it harder for a vaccine to work ultimately.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.